Coach Raheem Morris is here.
Coach, we believe in the merit system here, Coach. We just well, real quick while we got you here.
What
do you feel about LeBron's kid getting in the NBA?
Yeah,
I love it. I thought it was special. You know, but to say you earned the right.
LeBron earned the right to use his son as a victory cigar.
Ah,
the kid hasn't earned anything, Coach.
I mean, the kid is a good player. Yeah, he's going to be a good player. Probably wasn't ready yet, but yeah. To have him out there with his dad is really special. And I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I was actually putting in perspective of even coaching with my son one day, how cool that would be. That's not going to happen, but, like, you can only imagine how cool it would be for a player.
I was going to say, though, can you imagine that, like, lasting in this business long enough that your son gets to a point where he is deserving to be on a staff that you're a part of? It's almost impossible, Rod. Like, that's what makes it so crazy.
The greatness of LeBron is the longevity and the fact that he had so much hype built around him that he's been able to live up to, I think, and surpass, really, to a certain extent. It's unbelievable.
I mean, we've talked about it. You know, there's nepotism in all sports and all walks of life, but eventually in the NFL, it's not for long if you can't do the job. I know. It's funny, at 15, when Shanahan got – I'm like, oh, please, Kyle Shanahan. The greatest offensive coordinator we've ever had. You know what it's like? You were here on this team, man.
That's funny.
And Coach was with him in Washington. I mean, they go way back.
I mean, Kyle's been doing it since Houston.
That's right.
Right.
You know, he started – his first chance to call it was in Houston. And then he moved to Washington with his dad, and he got a chance to come to Cleveland.
Right.
And then he came here with Quinny, and it's just like, you know, the things that he went through, probably a little bit different than what we can compare Bronny to, but I do say that it's a beautiful thing. You know, like, I'm the biggest hater of all time when it comes to those things. So I embrace the barbershop argument of Kobe, LeBron. And,
yeah. And who's your guy? Things. Don't say nothing.
It ain't close. You know, okay.
It's Kobe.
I'm a Kobe guy.
It's a Kobe.
But I will say this. I argue Kobe. Jordan's the greatest of all time. Kobe's my guy. LeBron is definitely in the conversation. I'm not going to be that arrogant.
Right.
But, you know, it's just Kobe's.
It's Kobe.
Kobe's a dog.
All day long.
And then I grew up hating Jordan so much because I was cheering for Magic. So I couldn't quite name the greatest. It's Mike. I mean, I wear Jordans every single day at practice.
Yeah.
You know, I love Kobe.
Well, Coach, it's a great conversation. Yeah. And certainly, you know, those are the things we talk about when we're not talking football.
We can talk NBA all day, not talk about that crappy game against the Bucks. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean,
didn't play the Bucks.
I'm sorry.
He's all messed up.
Against the Seahawks.
We got our butts kicked by Seattle. And all yeah.
Well, well, so, well let's talk about this. Because you said today, I think you talked about the penalties with the guys. What do we need to get cleaned up heading into Sunday? And we know this, Coach. It's not going to be like it was a few weeks ago against the Bucks.
No chance. That's never the case. Yeah. You know, that's never the case. I've never seen it happen that way. There's going to be a dogfight. You can guarantee that. And then they'll be prepared the right way. You know, got a lot of belief in what their coach staff is going to do and how to prepare those guys to come back out and fight, particularly after the tough loss that those guys had and be ready to come back and the losses of the people they had. None of that stuff matters. You know, everybody in this league, nobody cares about anything other than going out there getting being productive. But, you know, we got to be ready to go, and we will be. And I can't wait to get back on the grass along with this football team because of the dog mentality they have.
You say we will be. I want to follow it up because I heard you say after the game we were flat.
Yes.
Do you take that personal?
Yes, I do. I mean, that's not a knock, but it's just a part of the process, right? You had three tough games in a row that you got a chance to win, and then you come out in this one and you're a little bit flat. And for me, it's like, let me go back and look at the preparation that I gave the guys. Let me go back and look at the execution that we were able to do. Let me go find out why we were flat. Let me go poke some holes into the things that I did personally. And I always start with myself first. You know, it's never to point at the guys and to blame them for anything, because, like, this is a tough league, and, like, there is some fatigue going to set in. How do I prepare those guys to go out there and not be flat? And that's where I started, and that's why I chose to start. And, like, for me, that's, like, the most important thing that you do when you're talking about being a leader.
It's Coach Rob with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And just to wrap it up, because we said on Monday, I mean, we weren't even that angry. You were just saying, you know, every year there's always a game, and it's inexplicable to the fans because even Super Bowl winning teams have had a day where you just don't have the juice. And Kirk said, look, it's up to us to provide the juice. Now, it's a late arriving crowd. We're kind of used to that for 1 o'clock starts. But it just seems like it's human nature in the NFL for one of these to just get dropped on.
You know, you never blame, like, the fan base for starting flat. That's not nearly the case. But for me, it's like, hey, you got to go out. And we were trying to find a way to get into that game. Like, we cut it to 10-6, and then it went to 17 to whatever it was, 14.
You said we got
to
wake up at halftime.
And we're like, yeah, we got to go. And then every time we felt like he had that chance to make that play, whether it was the throw to Dre Ray in the corner that would have made that game different, or it was a chance to get off, and we got the penalty on 3rd and 5, or a chance to get off again, you get the penalty at 3rd and 8. Those things are killer. Because if you get a chance to get the ball back right there, you can change the momentum, you can shift that thing, and then we're talking about starting flat but finishing strong. And that's what, that was the part that we missed on. That's the part where I'm like, I put that on myself. Right. You know, obviously, our guys will point themselves, they will point at themselves enough. We will go into the film room. We'll critique everything we got to critique. We'll make the proper and the much-needed corrections and whatever need to be corrected. But that happens even in wins. You know, so, like, you got to first start with yourself. You got to start with what you did, your preparation that week. You got to trust your process, of course, but figure out what's the best way to go to the next week.
Coach Raheem Morris with us. Tampa on the schedule, guys. We're on the road this weekend. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, last time we saw these guys, we ran for 73 yards. We talked about it that week after with you. They kind of forced Kurt to throw the ball. We threw it. Can we run the ball more effectively against these guys coming up on Sunday?
You know, you never want to dictate the terms of what's going to happen before the game. But when you get into the game, you want to be able to go out there and have some order and how you want to be able to do it. And I got so much confidence that we can run the ball on anybody when we feel like it. Right? And last week when they came out, they gave us some premium looks in the pass game.
Seattle?
That we took advantage of. No, talking about the Bucks playing the first time.
Okay.
They gave us some premium looks in the pass game that we took advantage of. And I got a feeling that Todd's, you know, smart enough and a good enough coach that those holes may not be there the same quite way, so we will have to run the football. So, like, to say we're going to go out there and be able to run the ball effectively, I believe so, sitting here right now with you, and I believe our coaching staff and our players do as well.
Man, that Ravens second quarter, man, they just got after it. I mean, it looked, or the way the Bucks got Lamar on the ground early with 2 back-to-back sacks, I said, well, it's going to be a long day, and then Baltimore flipped the show. I know we can run the ball effectively with Bijan and Algier, but I know Derrick Henry's a separate super-duper animal of a beast of a running back, but we can do the same thing, can't we, with the run game?
It's always hard to say you do the same thing. You know,
can we run for 150 yards against those guys collectively?
We'll do it our way. You know, like you know, like that game was special. Like, I think they had an 81-yard run by the big fella. The quarterback provides a different amount of mobility that you got to respect and you got to account for there. But to throw the ball over the place, that the Ravens are playing really good football right now. Right. And now they let them back in the game in the second half, so to speak, because these guys were coming back and put up 21 points in the fourth quarter. But Baker's a fighter. You know, he'll come out ready to go. That team will come out ready to go, and we got to be ready to go as well, which I believe it will be.
Coach, without their 2-star wide receivers, Mike Evans is a dog, we know. Hamstring.
How dare you not say Godwin's a dog?
Well, I'm about to get there. Godwin is too. Godwin, to me, best slot guy in the league right now. I mean, statistically, he was playing that well. And now you say, okay, those two elements are gone. Your defensive mind. How do you look at that? I mean, from a fan's perspective, and you know this, we saw that happen, and we were like, "Oh, not cheering it, but knowing you
feel
know,
like we got the
yeah." And so, from your defensive mind, how are you looking at that?
So I know I gotta say this about Mike first. You know, Mike's one of the toughest, baddest dudes on the planet for a long time in the league. And then you talk about Godwin being one of the not forget the stats. I'm talking about the toughness that he displays on everything that he does for that football team and how he does it, even the way he left the game, looking at his trainer and telling him time to go to work. And it's just like that mentality is what you respect about those guys. Let's just start there. But when they're out, it's not a cheering sensation when you see greatness leave. It's more of, hey, they're going to have somebody step up and people are going to try to fill their shoes. And those guys are going to expect those guys to do it because of how they lead their football team and how I know they lead that room. And they got some young, respected guys in that room and old and Shep. And they got some young guys that they've drafted and people that are put in place right now to go out there and really play well. So for me, it's like, we better come even better. We better come even more prepared because, like, the minute you have any amount of laps in your game or any letdown, that you'll be exposed in this league. It's a very humbling league, and you better not be able to go out there and think that way.
It's Coach Raheem Morris with the guys inside the Ticketmaster Studios on Dukes of Bell. We're the only station live here at the branch. We were looking at the numbers earlier today, and I know, Gino, we were so close. It's close. I know you addressed it on your press conference about those touchdowns before the half, Carolina last week.
Killers.
Quarterbacks are averaging 72% completion rate against us. We're worst in the league, and I know that gets back to trying to get the heat. Do we have that guy in the building that we can scheme to get on the quarterback, or how do we address it?
You know, it was like the last couple of weeks gotten better and better, and 72% is too easy of a completion rate. It depends on where they're going. You know, the weeks before, you didn't mind because we were giving up the least amount of explosive in the league. And then last week, it got away from us a little bit. I think they got 7. I can't remember exactly right now, but that was the most we had given up all year in one game. So that becomes an issue. So when the completions are short, which they had been, and not explosive, you like them. But when you have the explosives, even though we did outgain them in the passing yards, that's too much. You know, you need to take away that big explosive that he was able to get at the end of the half. You need to eliminate that. You need to eliminate the one that they broke out in the run. You need to eliminate that. And the other ones, you feel good about as long as they're competitive. Now, the double pass that threw up in the air that I should have picked off. I mean,
those are the things that can't happen. That was in the air for like a minute.
Those are the things that can't happen. And those are the things that are inexcusable for us. But, you know, you like where you are. It depends on what's going on. If you limit explosives, you're able to go through the process, you feel better about it.
So as a head coach, we're looking at all the things that are going on around the league, right? Today, Mike and I are talking about the fact that the Chiefs are going out and getting D-Hop, okay? They traded for him. We're seeing all these moves. As a head coach, do you just say to yourself at any point, all right, we need to go get X, and you convey that to the front office and say, hey, we're good, but we need to go get X. As a head coach, do you do that?
I'll start with the collaboration that we have just on a daily basis, just anyway. Like, I don't have to go down the hallway. You know, the constant growth and development and growth mindset in that building or upstairs with Terry and that whole staff and Kyle and Ryan and all the guys in our scouting department that they have is crazy.
So they're thinking about it.
They're doing stuff. They're fielding calls. They're doing everything, right? Okay. That's just what they do. They do that no matter what's happening. They always constantly trying to grow in every area. You know, but I hit you with the Mike Tomlin for as far as I go. Like, right, I'm going to cook with the ingredients that's in the building. and that's what you got to do as a coach, right? I got the guys that I have, and you play with those guys. And then when the word gets out and however that process works with trading or potential trading or the talk or the information they're gathering, I won't be a part of that. I'll be a part of final decisions with Terry, and we'll make the decisions as they go and how we move about business.
We talked about Ebikadi last week. I know guys, one of our listeners brought up Zach Harrison. I know he's a big dude. Looks like we kind of moved him more inside. Is there? I mean, I know I'm asking the same question again, but trying to find something in that room that can go get the dude on.
Which one are you talking about? Zach, Big Zach?
Yeah.
Big Zach goes, he moves around a little bit. He's got some versatility, play inside, outside, and he's been able to go inside and get a little bit of push, and took away a big stat for him last week getting that big third down completion. He was the guy that was victim to the hands to the face call, not him in particular, but somebody else in that play when he made a big play. And that would have been more pass rush production for us to lower that 72% that you just threw. But all of those things become factors, and it's just like I like where we're going. I like where the people are going, the improvement that we've had with the people within the building, and we got to go get more production so we can be justified and be able to talk about it.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you stopping by. Big game on Sunday. And real quick, we talk about running the South. This is it, right? I mean, we have a chance to really take control of this thing.
4-0
on Sunday.
The division with a win. Yeah.
So now it's not it, but it's one of them.
Okay.
And it's definitely one of those moments where you can sit up like that and give me the real.
You see that confidence
tough
in me.
Look and confident.
You
look.
Saw that, right? You
I
saw
did.
It.
Because I almost actually go talk to Terry and talk about suiting you up.
Hey, I'm right behind the bench on Sunday if you need me. If you need a long snapper or something, man.
I'm trying to get these dubs.
I got one
dubs.
Of the best long snackers in the world.
Trying to get these dubs, man. All right, Coach Raheem Morris.
That's Rob.
With us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.